The Radio Misfits Podcast Network.
Welcome to That Show Hasn't Been Funny in Years, an SNL podcast. I am your host, Nick DiGilio. I'm a podcaster, comedy writer and performer, graduate of the Second City, and a Saturday Night Live expert and historian. Each week, we'll look back at everything SNL, the best, the worst, the good, the bad, the classic, the forgotten. We'll talk about full seasons and full casts and behind-the-scenes stories and episodes and sketches, SNL's historical significance, and much, much more. Sometimes I'll have guests, sometimes I won't, but with every episode, I will always prove that that tired cliche that you hear all the time, that show hasn't been funny in years, is absolutely wrong. And today on the podcast, I love talking about sketches that... That bombed, or weird sketches. I have a love for those kind of sketches. And, you know, the very first episode of this podcast was dedicated entirely to the potato chip sketch, which I'm sure that you've heard about. If you're a regular listener to this podcast, you should check it out. If not, go back. It's episode number one. It's all about the insane 1250 sketch. And if you don't know what a 1250 sketch is, that's the sketch that's always at the end of the show. It's usually the weirdest, or it bombed in dress, or nobody really understands it. And so they stick it at the end of the show when they think a lot of people aren't watching, or they're drunk, or they're asleep. And that's where they save some of the weirdest stuff. But sometimes those sketches take off and they become huge. They save the weirdest stuff for the 1250 sketch. So I like the weird sketches. I like the sketches that don't go over so well. And sometimes sketches are so bad that they bomb so hard that they get cut from dress rehearsal, where they actually have a live audience. There's a live audience in the studio, and they do not make it to air. And that's the case of the sketch that we're going to be talking about on the podcast today. Sometimes sketches are so bad, or sometimes they're so terrible that they don't play, and they either sometimes they get cut for time, and you know, if they make decisions that they prioritize on what's the funniest stuff that they have left in the show, and what they're going to keep and what they're going to cut. Sometimes it's just because of time. They're like, oh, the sketch is pretty cool, but we don't have time because the band went long, or this went long, or blah, 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 blah. It's a live show, and you have to change on the fly sometimes. So sometimes certain sketches don't make it because they run out of time. Other times, when you perform a sketch that bombs at dress, there's a good chance that it will not be on the live show. And that's the case for the episode, for the sketch that we're going to be talking about on this episode. The title of this episode is Song for Daddy. And it has everything to do with a very weird sketch that completely tanked during dress rehearsal. And at dress rehearsal, for people who don't know, they have the live show, which they begin at 11:30 p.m. Eastern time. But there is a dress rehearsal with a full audience in Studio 8H. And that's usually recorded at around 7 p.m. You know, they bring in a new audience. They bring in a whole audience. They do everything that they're going to do, or what they plan to do for the live show. And if something doesn't play well for the test audience, which is the dress audience, sometimes it gets cut. Sometimes there are changes made. Like if a sketch kind of works, but they might want to change it, and at the last minute, you know, they'll do rewrites. And this happens on the show all the time on Saturday Night Live. It's a live show, and they are doing rewrites, and they're tightening things and changing things up to the very moment that they perform them live on television. It's one of the reasons why the show is so exciting and unique, is that rewrites and changes are happening until the very moment that millions of people are going to see this thing broadcast on live TV. So changes are made, and before dress rehearsal, during rehearsals during the week, during blocking, during the table reads and all that stuff, things are changing every single day. Monday when you walk in, you got nothing. On Saturday, you have a whole show, and that show has gone through rewrites and changes, and they move sketches from one place to another, and they change things and cut things. And one of the things that happens very frequently is a sketch that they thought might have been funny during the week. Maybe it killed during a table read, did okay during rehearsals, you know, before a crowd got there. But it bombs, it gets cut. So the sketch that we're going to be talking about is called Song for Daddy. And it was a sketch that was written by Bill Hader, John Solomon, and Rob Klein. Rob Klein and John Solomon, terrific writers who spent a good portion of time on SNL writing very strange stuff. And John Solomon co-wrote the, along with Will Forte, he co-wrote the very weird potato chip sketch. And John Solomon is a guy who really reveled in strange humor. And he would actually go on to make a movie called The Brothers Solomon with Will Forte and Will Arnett, which is one of the most, if you've not seen The Brothers Solomon, you should. It's a very strange, very out there movie that has that insane sense of humor that Will Forte and Will Arnett are known for. And the kind of stuff that John Solomon and Will Forte wrote together and the kind of stuff that John Solomon wrote with Bill Hader was always edgy and strange. They wrote this classic sketch called Fart Face, which I did an entire episode. If you can scroll back and check it out, it's archived. It's, I don't know, I think it's maybe 20 or 25 episodes ago. I did an episode about Fart Face and its two sequels. And Solomon wrote that. Will Forte wrote that. Bill Hader was in that. Bill Hader, when he worked with Will Forte and when he worked with the writer John Solomon, did some crazy shit. They really went all out. They pushed the envelope in weirdness. Some of the stuff made it to air. Some of the stuff didn't. Some of the stuff has become sort of classic. And this is one of those sketches that just did not make it past dress rehearsal because everything that could possibly go wrong in a sketch on Saturday Night Live went wrong here. The audience was completely unresponsive. The host was terrible and was being an asshole the whole week and was improvising, even though this person is not funny and can't improvise to save their life. Not a talented acting person of any kind, and was hosting simply because he was hot at the time. The audience was not the kind of audience that you want in Saturday Night Live. Every single thing that could go wrong, the props were wrong. The props didn't show up. People were going up on their lines. They weren't getting laughs. There were uncomfortable silences. There were certain technical things that were going wrong, sound effects that didn't happen at the right time. And like I said, props being handed out wrong, stagehands screwing it up. At one point, a wall fell down and almost crushed the host, the untalented host who was helped to ruin the sketch. So everything that could go wrong went wrong. Lighting cues were wrong. Sound cues were wrong. The props weren't coming out when they should. The props didn't get laughs. And on the simplest of levels, the goddamn thing did not get laughs. It got groans. It got, I think, one or two laughs. And for Bill Hader and for Bobby Moynihan and Fred Armisen and Tim Robinson, who were the regulars and the cast members who were doing this, it was a nightmare. It was like the longest 5 minutes of their lives for this dress rehearsal audience who had no idea what the hell was going on and was an audience that was uncommon. And the reason why they were an audience that was uncommon and, you know, you shouldn't, you know, measure how successful your sketch does by an audience like this, because the host that night was Justin Bieber. He was host and musical guest, and Justin Bieber has very little talent at all. I'm not a fan of Justin Bieber. I don't like his music. I don't like him. I don't think he can act. I don't think he's got a sense of humor. And at that time, he was like 18 years old, and he was hosting and musical guest at the time. His sketches were terrible. By all accounts, he was one of the most obnoxious asshole entitled hosts in the history of Saturday Night Live. Everybody who was in that cast, everybody who was behind the scenes, the writers, the producers, Lorne, everybody who was involved in that week putting that show up, has gone down on the record as saying one of the biggest, most obnoxious, most privileged assholes who has ever hosted Saturday Night Live in its 49 years of existence is Justin Bieber. And it didn't help that this sketch completely bombed, and it didn't help that he has no idea what he's doing on stage besides dancing and singing. Like, the guy can't read lines, he doesn't know, he has no comic timing, he tried to improvise and can't improvise because he has no comic talent. So in addition to having a shitty asshole host, the sketch was really weird, and on top of that, the audience consisted mainly of Bieber fans. So it was prepubescent and pubescent girls. And they don't know Bill Hader. They don't care about Bill. They don't know who Fred Armisen is. They don't understand that the sketch is about an old country singer who was experimenting with new instruments. Nobody knew what an old country singer was. They were there to look at Justin Bieber and scream every time he opened his mouth and yell while he was, you know, dancing and singing. So the audience was horrible. The audience was non-responsive. The audience was a bunch of teenage and pre-teenage girls who were there simply to scream at Bieber, and they didn't give a shit about anything else, and showed that by screaming inappropriately. They were a terrible audience, a terrible host, a terrible week. And on top of all of that shit that happened during the week, with a terrible asshole host and the weirdness of this sketch, it all combined for what is a nuclear bomb of a sketch. So, terrible audience who wasn't paying attention, consisting of a bunch of preteen girls who were screaming at the asshole who was hosting the show. A host who had no sense of comedy whatsoever, attempting to be funny. A sketch that was way, way weird. props that were not handled correctly, you know, cues that didn't go right, and on top of that, the wall almost falling down and killing Justin Bieber. So, before we play, and you will hear the sketch in its entirety. Now, it did not make it to air. What you will hear is the sketch as it was performed before a live audience during dress rehearsal, which is the show that they do before the live show, as I mentioned. And obviously, the audience was not into it. The audience was a bunch of Bieber heads. They didn't care about anything. And it's just very, very strange. So you will hear the sketch. You will also hear some commentary about the sketch as it's happening from Bill Hader, John Solomon, and Rob Klein. You'll hear commentary, like an audio track commentary. After I play the sketch, I'll play that. And also what led up to that sketch, why the sketch was so weird, and why, you know, it happened. And why Justin Bieber is considered one of the most obnoxious, privileged assholes in the history of the show. And everybody, when asked, not the worst host, you know what I mean? Not the worst host, but, you know, not the worst host, because the worst host, you know, would probably go down, and I did an entire episode of that. One of the worst hosts of all time would be Steven Seagal. But he was like Bieber's considered one of the worst hosts simply because of his privileged and asshole behavior, and he's got no talent. And on top of that, he brought in a bunch of jerks in a theater that had no business being in there to watch Saturday Night Live. So it's the perfect storm. So anyway, Justin Bieber, let's read a little bit from the book Live from New York about Bill Hader working with Justin Bieber. And then I'll play a little audio from Andy Cohen's show, Watch What Happens Live, where Bill Hader and Jay Farrow were on answering some viewer questions. And one of them involves Bieber. So let me first of all read from the Live from New York, the complete uncensored history of Saturday Night Live told by its stars, writers, and guests. And that's written by James Andrew Miller and the late Tom Shales. And this is the Bible. If you don't own this book and you're a Saturday Night Live fan, you need to get it ASAP because it's the Bible of anything, any books that have ever been written about Saturday Night Live. This is the best by far. But here's Bill Hader. I really didn't enjoy having Justin Bieber around. I didn't hate the guy. It just wasn't, I just wasn't into it. I'm pitching jokes to this kid. I was having a weird week because that was the week that I told Lauren that I was leaving the show. This was in 2013. I think the whole week was just bad for me. So I partially blamed Justin Bieber for it, I guess. There was this one sketch where I had to dress up as him. And I felt like an old man. I'm like a father. Why am I dressed up like this little guy? What am I doing right now? Sometimes you have people who are just not your thing and they host the show. But sometimes they surprise me. Sometimes you're like, oh, God, we have this person? And then by the end of the week, I'm like, oh, I love this person. He's great. I have nothing against Taylor Swift, for instance. I just didn't listen to her music. And then she comes in and I was thinking, God, how wonderful and funny is this girl? She's so talented. She surprised me. That's how it is, with the exception of Bieber. He was the only one who lived up to the reputation. And I think that's the only time I felt that way in my 8 years at Saturday Night Live. Without a doubt, when a friend of yours is hosting, for me, someone like Paul Rudd or Seth Rogen or Jonah Hill, odds are that you're going to have a light show. I have no idea why it works out that way. It's just weird. Your friend would be hosting and you'd be really excited and then you wouldn't be in the show. Or you'd have one good thing in it and that was it. And you're just going, how did that happen? And then along comes someone like Taylor Swift and it was one of the best episodes I've ever had. So there you go. But Justin Bieber is the opposite of Taylor Swift, you know? Hater shows up thinking, oh, God, this is going to be a long week. She's a musician. She doesn't know what she's doing. She's young. She's a kid. I don't listen to her music. I don't like what she does. She's going to be terrible. And then she turned out to be great. And Taylor Swift was fantastic when she hosted way back, way, way back. But Justin Bieber lived up to the asshole reputation that he had. And he also brought a terrible audience. And it was not a good week. Here is Andy Cohen interviewing Bill Hader and Jay Farrow, talking, you know, taking questions from them.
Hey, Kelly, what's your question?
Hey, Andy, my question's for both of them.
Okay.
Who was the worst behaved musical guest or host at your time at SNL? Oh,
everybody wants to know worst.
I know.
Right. I mean, we both know, dog.
Yeah, it was Bieber.
Right.
Yeah, Bieber.
It was Bieber.
Bieber was,
yes,
yeah.
You talked on Stern about that.
Yeah, Bieber was, he just was in a bad place. Maybe, yes. Maybe he's in a better place, but right. Then he was in a very... Right. It was rough. Yeah.
I saw Kanye yank somebody. That was pretty hilarious.
Really? What?
Kanye said it went like this and got dude in place. I was like, ha, ha, ha.
Now, everyone's usually on great behavior.
Right,
everyone's
they're usually
very,
excited
everyone's
to be
very
there,
excited
right?
And great behavior. Yeah. Most time, it's 100%, and that's why I think, Bieber is the only one that, in my experience, and it was just, I think he just seemed, like, exhausted or
right.
Just at the end of a rope or whatever. I mean, he was just so huge.
All right, so there it is. That's them talking about Justin Bieber. But without hesitation, both Jay Farrow and Bill Hader, Bieber. Yes, Bieber. So on top of having to do some weird stuff and having a disagreeable guest, they pitched these ideas to this kid who didn't know comedy, who had no experience doing comedy, and clearly, when he was on the show, displayed the fact that he has no comic ability whatsoever. So dealing with a jag-off like that for an entire week is tough. And then when you have a sketch that is written by John Solomon and Rob Klein and known for their very, very weird out there, mostly 1250 weird shit sketches that sometimes don't make the show. When you have a sketch like that, in addition, it's the perfect storm. So the sketch, as I mentioned, is called Song for Daddy. And it is one of the weirdest concepts that you could imagine for a sketch. And as the sketch continues, you kind of figure out where, because at first you don't know where you are, you don't know what's going on. There is like an old country dude played by Bill Hader on stage, and he just finishes a song about what is about drinking or death or like really depressive old man country music, and he's got Fred Armisen on drums behind him. He's got a long crazy wig. It might be the same wig that he wears in the What's Up With That sketches. And then Bobby Moynihan is there with like a horn. And then over to the side is Justin Bieber on keyboards, and Justin Bieber plays Bill Hader's, you know, the old country guy. He plays his son, and they just finish a song, and they're about to launch into a second song, and it's a song that Bill Hader, as an old man, wrote for his dad. And then they bring out weird instruments, a four-necked, hot pink, weirdly designed guitar that makes weird noises. There's a Dr. Seuss horn and a kazoo on a harmonica strap that's supposed to be around his neck, and then the keyboards that Justin Bieber plays make weird sounds. And at one point, Fred Armisen is pouring a gallon of milk into one of his drums on his kit. So there's all this really surreal thing that is supposed to be making fun of old country guys who tell depressing songs. But with this one, very instruments that don't make sense. And then you're discovered, as we slowly discover, they're performing it on the Steve Harvey Show. So inappropriate song, inappropriate instruments, very weird ideas, and the idea was this is the wrongest place to perform this song would be on the Steve Harvey Show, which of course means Kenan Thompson gets to come out and do his Steve Harvey at the end. So that's the setup for the sketch. It's a bizarre sketch. It doesn't make any sense at all. Here's what they say. Entertainment Weekly wrote about it. It said, well, the plot was simple. A country techno band, think Creedence Clearwater Revival meets Kool and the Gang, is a musical act on the Steve Harvey Show. Although you don't know that for the first 3 minutes or 2 minutes of the sketch. It's so weird. Hader is the lead singer. Fred Armisen plays drums. Bobby Moynihan plays the Dr. Seuss instruments. Almost line by line, as Hader's character tells the story of his father, the skit falls flat. They said they wrote skit. By the way, I hate when people and people write or say skit for Saturday Night Live, like they're doing it like in a high school gymnasium or like in a garage. It's not a fucking skit. It's a sketch. So I hate it. Entertainment Weekly uses the word sketch or skit. It's a sketch. Anyway, there are some things get very, very weird. And they bring out a four-necked hot pink guitar. There's kazoos. There's milk. All kinds of crazy shit happens. But the idea was old guy, country guy with his son playing a song that's deeply personal on the Steve Harvey Show. So in the weird and crazy world and mind of John Solomon Rob Klein and Bill Hader, this all made sense. But to an audience filled with 14-year-old girls who had no sense of humor and a host who was a jagoff, all of this stuff completely bombed. Seth Meyers had Bill Hader on, and this is this was during COVID, so he was it was a Zoom interview. So that's why there's no audience and so on and so forth. And the audio is a little bit weird because they were using Zoom on television during that time when everybody was stuck at home. So Bill Hader was on during COVID, and Seth Meyers always talks about, loves to talk about sketches that bombed. Because Seth Meyers obviously spent a significant amount of time at SNL, was part of a lot of sketches that bombed, was head writer, and knows the procedure. And he also has this thing called Second Chance Theater, where he'll have Saturday Night Live cast members or guests on from the past, and they will reenact a sketch that completely bombed. Either a sketch that was terrible during the live show or so bad during dress rehearsal that it was cut, like this one. So here's Seth Meyers talking with Bill Hader about Second Chance Theater and about this sketch in particular. And here's a bunch of great stuff that Seth asked Bill, and here's Bill Hader telling the story of Song for Daddy, a sketch that bombed so hard it got cut immediately before the live show. And you'll hear the sketch coming up.
We do talk about Second Chance Theater a lot of this show. And I believe Song for Daddy, was that also Klein and Solomon?
We're just talking about John Solomon and Rob Klein sketches, which were amazing. But yeah, Song for Daddy was Justin Bieber. And that sketch, only went to dress. And everything that could possibly go wrong in a sketch went wrong during that sketch. Immediately, I think the set almost fell on Justin Bieber.
Right.
And then I tried to make it like a part of the sketch or something. And then I remember none of the props I was supposed to have were there. And it went, it just went terrible. And then at the end, I remember Kenan Thompson came out as Steve Harvey, and he went, "I don't know, I like it." And it was almost like he was talking about the sketch. But my prevailing memory of that was going upstairs after it happened and going up to the writer's room on 9, still in my costume, and walking into the writer's room on the 9th floor, and James Anderson just on the floor laughing, and he tackled me and started laughing because it was like this. That not everybody was just like, that was,
yeah,
and that was one of the classic, like, everything that could go wrong. I think it's online someplace, but it just ate it.
Like, it was also it was like height of Bieber fever, and I think in those days, probably now too, when you have dress rehearsals, sometimes that's when I feel like NBC executives like pull tickets for their kids. And so it was a way younger crowd, and they were just there because they loved him. And the sketch started, and immediately the set almost fell on him, and people gasped.
Yeah, I'm an old, grizzled cowboy singing a song about his daddy. And I remember getting up there and seeing the crowd, and Fred Armisen was playing the drummer, and Fred was like, "God, there's a lot of, like, young kids here." And I was just like, "Oh, we're screwed. This isn't going to play." And just seeing John Solomon just in the audience with pleasantly looking at me, going like, just knowing, like,
yeah,
I was in front of the firing squad, you know?
It was, we'll do it here one day, and we'll just have a grizzled audience full of cowboys for you. Just like old, because that's who it was for.
It was who it was for. It was just, yeah.
Buddy, thank you so much for being here.
There you go. So that's it, man. That's the sketch. And to watch it is to love it. It is out there. You got to dig for it. It's not available on Peacock, obviously. It is not available on the SNL YouTube channel. So you kind of dig for it because, you know, sometimes they will put a sketch up that didn't make it to the show, especially ones that are cut for time. And especially ones that they considered funny. So you'll get the extra sketches almost every week. There's at least one, sometimes two or three sketches that didn't make it to air. They were cut for time, but they were still very funny. This one did not make it to the SNL YouTube channel's section of cut for time or sketches that didn't make it to the air. So you got to kind of dig for this one. But the sketch was from season 38. Episode 13, and again, February 9th, 2013. That was the date. That's the season. That's the episode. I always tell you the date, the season and the episode number so that you can find these things online. Whenever I talk about sketches or certain things, I always make sure to give you all the information so that you can look them up and watch them on an episode that's available on Peacock, or check them out on NBC, or you can check them out on YouTube's Saturday Night Live channel. But again, season 38, episode 13, February 9, 2013, Justin Bieber was your host and your musical guest, and it was a bad show. And again, as you've heard, Justin Bieber was just an irritating guest who didn't have a lot of comedy chops. And the house was filled with people that didn't know comedy but just wanted to scream because they were 14-year-old girls who loved Bieber. So it's just a nightmare all the way around. And on top of that, you get a weird, surreal sketch about a grizzled old cowboy trying to sing a song, but with weird, surreal, crazy-sounding instruments on the Steve Harvey Show. So, take one of the craziest premises that might not work, that will definitely not work under the circumstances, and this is it. So this is it. This is the entire sketch, and then afterwards, I will play beat-by-beat commentary that Bill Hader, writers John Solomon and Rob Klein made, after this became sort of a legendary bad sketch in the history of SNL. So here it is in its entirety. You will hear weird stuff. Some of the visuals are there. I might explain a little bit of them afterwards. But remember, the crowd is filled with 14-year-old girls who don't give a shit about Saturday Night Live. And the host was a jagoff. And at one point, the wall kind of falls in on him. The weird props look strange. The Dr. Seuss horn, the crazy pink four-necked guitar. All of the stuff that's happening just coincides and becomes the perfect storm of a sketch that bombs. So here it is from February 9, 2013. Did not make it to air. This is from the dress rehearsal that night. Song for Daddy.
And the bottle keeps rolling along. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Thank you. Thank you. You're very kind. You know, that was a protest song back in the day, but I'm guessing most of you know it from ABC's Private Practice. That's right. You know, it's real special for me to be up here on stage with my son over on the Keys, Barbara's Raised Fields.
Hey, Pops.
Hey, son. Who's the boss?
I am.
Oh, stage almost fell on you, son. That would have sucked. That would have sucked big time. Because I've never hosted this show before. Let's give it a break.
It's not part of it.
Yeah, well, just hold on there. Little guy, okay? We're going to start over? We're going to keep going? You ready? There you go. Oh, well, okay, we're just going to tune up for a second. This next song here, this song, it's a very special song for me. This is about my daddy. Now, Boz here, he never got to know his grandfather, did you, son?
Nope.
See, my daddy was a coal miner from the Harbit ground of West Virginia. Sometimes he was more comfortable with a thermos full of whiskey than a hug for his boy. Can I get the other guitar, please? Thank you. Now, Daddy, he loved us. He loved us a lot. He just, you know, he didn't know how to say it. Then one snowy day, my mama said five words I'll never forget. She said, "Daddy don't feel too well." Doctors had my daddy laid up in the hospital, but it's a funny thing about coal miners. They don't take too well to getting bossed around by city doctors. Can I get my kazoo, please? You know, how the hell is it? Yeah, thank you. Never forget it. My daddy looked at me from his hospital bed and he said, "Son, get the truck. We're gonna take one last ride." So I picked my daddy up and I carried him down these steps into the parking lot. I'm not getting it. I'm not getting the sound I want. Buzz, give me a little riff on the keyboard there. D major. hit again. One more time. That's the sound I'm looking for right there. Okay, thank you. So I set my daddy down on the bed, rolled pickup, and I said, let's go see those mountains. Tony, how you doing on that Dr. Seuss horn? One more time on it. There you go. There you go. There you go. Yeah. You're a real sweet audience, by the way. I drove my daddy up to that mountain to our old spot, and I'll never forget it. My daddy looked at me and he said, say, son, I'll race you to the creek. Buy a Zuna Moss on that. Give me a G. One more time. 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 Yeah, there it is. And I said, no, daddy, let's not race. Let's just sit. And then my daddy, he pointed at an old oak tree and he said, who this? And I said, daddy, that's a tree. And he went, oh. Jimmy, you back good on that milk? All right. By the way, this song is something of a call and response. So when I say preserve, I'm going to need you all to say Social Security. Let's try it. Preserve. Social Security. Not supposed to say preserve. Jesus Christ. All right, well, one more time. Reserve! There you go. Richie, can I get my favorite hat, please? Richie, bring in my hat, will you? You don't have it? Well, forget it. Anyway, that's the story about my daddy. I know y'all thought it was worth it. You're right. Now, here's the song. I hope you like it. You ready, son?
Ready, Pops.
All right. This one's for my daddy, alive and well in Dover, Delaware. All right. One, two, three. Thank you.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, that was great.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was.
That was the best that ever went.
I think so. Let's hear it again for the Kim Fields Band. I don't know. I like it. What's that song called?
Tell them what the name of the song is, son.
Patty Cake.
That's right.
Oh, nice. That's real cool. All right, coming up next on the Steve Harvey Show, you're going to meet a woman who says she was fired because she was too hot.
Oh, that's not cool.
I don't like that. Yeah, I don't like that, but good job.
Okay, so that's the sketch. That's it in its entirety. At one point when he says, about a little bit, almost halfway through the sketch, when he says, well, you're a great crowd, that's when you find out they cut to a whole bunch of people who are a whole bunch of extras who are there pretending to be a part of the Steve Harvey Show. So you see the Steve Harvey logo, and you don't realize that they're on the Steve Harvey Show until about 2.5 minutes into the sketch. And the wall almost falls down on Bieber, and there are moments where Bieber is just kind of looking like he's afraid the wall's going to fall on him again. And then at the end, when he asks Bieber, you know, what was the name of the song, he was supposed to say, Hey Jude. But because, you know, Bieber is a comic genius, he improvised Patty Cake because he thought it'll be funnier than what he was saying and yeah, whatever. So anyway, it was doomed from the beginning. There's no question about it. And listening to it, just like hear the silence. I love listening to sketches that tank and just hear the audience reaction. But the best is now you're going to hear from Bill Hader, John Solomon as Rob Klein as they play the sketch back in real time. And what you just heard was the sketch. What you just heard was the real dress rehearsal audience, how it tanked, how it bombed. you know, you heard the problems with the weird sounds and the weird and everything that they were trying to do. Like Bobby Moynihan was mugging, Fred Armisen was on the verge of breaking. Tim Robinson, by the way, he was another cast member. He was the one who was bringing out the instruments and trying to help Bill Hader with the kazoo around his neck and all this other stuff. So, and then when Keenan comes out as, you know, who just basically gets to stand on the side and watch this entire thing bomb for 5 minutes, he finally comes out, tries to get a couple of laughs and actually not just comment on the weird song that this band just played, but comment on how badly the sketch went. So it all came together. But this is fantastic. This is Bill Hader, again, John Solomon, and Rob Klein watching the sketch as it unfolds in front of them and talking about it. So here is actual commentary of the three people who wrote the sketch and the star of the sketch talking about what a train wreck it was. So this is John Solomon, Rob Klein, Bill Hader, live commentary on the sketch you just heard.
Okay, so this sketch could be described as a... train wreck, right?
The greatest train wreck.
The greatest train wreck ever. So, this is a character, this is a thing, Rob, you had an idea for this for a while, right?
Mm-hmm. That this old country singer might have written a new song with a couple of weird instruments, so kind of laying the groundwork for this guy. Justin Bieber hosting.
And by the way, the audience right now is just filled with prepubescent girls. This is not really the crowd for this. It's just all little, it's just Justin Bieber fans. It's like, that's all it's addressed.
Hey, son. Who's the boss?
I am.
Okay, and then a wall almost fell on Justin Bieber's head.
So a wall, this has never, and in my time at SNL, this has never happened before, where one of the walls just tipped over and almost fell. So in my peripheral vision, I see he's really scared right there. That's true fear on Justin Bieber's face. Yeah, he's scared. He is scared. And so the whole thing started to go like this, and I saw like five guys run over and grab it. That's what you're not seeing right now, is that there's a whole crew trying to put the wall back into place.
Bill's trying to keep it together.
And so now we have to keep trucking on. I asked Jenna, the stage manager, I'm like, are we going to stop? Because the set just almost fell on our host. And she went, no, keep going.
Buzz here,
also, lighting.
We didn't know that hat was going to cause a half shadow in Bill's face.
Can't see your eyes. Again, the least of our problems. Okay.
Hug for his boy. Can I get the other guitar, please?
Thank you. So here comes the big joke.
Daddy.
Nothing.
So that's what I'm thinking right now. That got nothing.
Wasn't there somebody in the front row who saw that happen and said, like,
what? Yeah, this guy in the front row didn't understand comedy, and he just kept going, wait a minute, what? And he said it another time later when I do the daddy's voice.
Doctors had my daddy laid up.
Now, we did this at the table read on Wednesday at SNL. We have a table read. This sketch killed.
Pretty good.
It did all right. It did all right.
We thought we were in good shape.
We weren't worried at all about anything. Now, we didn't work this out. We did not work
it. Forget it. My daddy looked at me from his hospital bed and he said, son, get the truck. We're going to take one last ride.
Nothing. Stunned silence. Yeah. I'm just looking at young girls looking at me going, when is Justin going to do something? Is it really about this old man? And Fred in the background being very patient.
Lauren at this point under the bleachers is just kind of sadly shaking his head, maybe.
Kind of stunned as well. Never having seen something this level.
Justin's really giving it his all there with those, and he's getting, maybe he's trying to make it funny.
I'm looking for right there. Okay, thank you.
So this is not, right there I just realized this was not going to air. That was the moment I realized this is not going to air.
Tony, how you doing on that Dr. Seuss horn?
So half the horn is in shadow.
Yeah.
That's not right.
Thought that would get a huge laugh.
Nothing. That's me getting my frustrations out. The sketch is going.
Kind of a laugh.
And that was when the guy went, what?
That's where I'm laughing.
I drove my I drove my daddy up to the...
See, the whole idea is this is on the Steve Harvey Show, and this is the second song.
Looked at me and he said,
which usually they just do one song. Race to the creek.
Buy a Zuna Moss on that. Give me a G.
DOA. Nothing.
real bad choice of ours on those sound effects.
Yeah. Not funny sound effects. I will say I still love this, even though no one is laughing. Yeah, I think up in the writer's room, people were going crazy.
Yeah.
In the writer's room, people were laughing very hard because this was... See, right there, that's when, that was the other time the guy went, what? The guy went, what? And I looked at him.
That's a tree.
I got a little something. That's
Jimmy, you got good on that milk?
Yeah.
Fred's face is pretty good.
Yeah, Fred's kind of looking at me going like, I don't have to wear this wig of hair. This is great.
So when I say preserve,
okay.
I need all to say Social Security. Let's try preserve.
So they weren't supposed to say anything. The joke is that I say it and that you cut to Steve Harvey and no one's saying anything. But our actual live audience of little kids followed the grown-up and said, he's saying, say something, I have to say it.
Luckily, we have a funny hat coming up.
Bridget, bring me my hat, will you? You don't have it?
Nope. No.
Oh, that was supposed to give me a prop hat. That was. I was supposed to have a prop hat. That's not a joke. There is no prop hat. They were going like this. We don't. They're shrugging.
You're right. Now here's the song.
Definitely the most anything's ever gone wrong.
Ready, Puffs.
All right.
Yeah. A host almost get killed.
Alive and well.
My hat wasn't there.
All right. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3.
Well, at least it has this.
This is Neil Casey, he's one of the writers.
Yeah, that's the draft. Draft. Yeah, yeah.
Keenan is.
Keenan comes in and tries to save it.
Well, that one's great.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was.
That was the best that ever went.
Yeah.
For the Tim Fields band, I don't know, I like it.
I don't know, I like it.
What's that song called?
Tell them what's the name of the song, yeah. Son.
Patty Cake.
It didn't work out. It was supposed to be a different line there.
It was supposed to be a different line. Right. It was supposed to be
Hey Jude.
Hey Jude.
She was fired because she was too hot. I don't like that.
Kind of quiet acceptance.
So right then I left and went backstage and you guys said, well, that didn't go well. Well, there you have it, everyone.
We treasure it.
We treasure it. Hope you do, too. And I'm glad Justin Bieber is
part of it.
Part of it.
There you go. You don't often get great commentary from the people who created a sketch that bombed so hard and on every single level. It's fantastic, and I had to share that with you. So Song for Daddy. I've watched it over and over and over again, and it's. I always find it really interesting and fun to watch sketches that bomb. I've done, as part of my background, I've mentioned, you know, in the intro, I did a lot of theater in Chicago. I did a lot of improv and I studied at Second City. And I've been on stage and I've been in sketches and I've been in plays and I've been in scenes that completely, utterly bomb. And in fact, I was in a play and that I directed, an actual wall fell on one of my actors and he had to hold it up during the last like 6 minutes of the show. So things like that happen, and you know, while they're happening, it's a nightmare, and you want to be anywhere but there. But man, when you go back and look at it, it's hilarious. And so you can find it. It's hard to find, but again, it's Song for Daddy. It's season 38, episode 13, February 9, 2013. Bieber is your host and musical guest, and that is a legendary sketch that bombed so hard it did not make it to air. But if you were there that night, that's why it's fun if you can go to the dress rehearsal, because, you know, if you can't get into the actual live, tickets go really, really fast, you know, for the live show. But sometimes you're on a waiting list. Sometimes you can get in to the dress rehearsal. And it's always, you know, it's always got to be a lot of fun to go to the dress rehearsal, too, because you end up maybe seeing something like this. You end up maybe seeing a show that has some sketches in it that won't be in the live show, or seeing some fuck-ups that are monumental and hilarious. You never know what you're going to get with live TV, and you definitely never know what you're going to get with a live TV dress rehearsal. And in this case, one of the most legendary, terrible sketches that bombed so hard, it did not make it to air. I love talking about sketches that bomb very hard, and Song for Daddy Bomb very hard. Great stories from Bill Hader, who obviously would go on to massive success outside of Saturday Night Live, you know, with Barry and with acting in movies and doing everything else. But his years on Saturday Night Live, he was one of the best. And he was also a very creative and crazy writer, did a lot of great work. So if Bill Hader's on stage, it usually was pretty good. And then, you know, to have the grandfather at this point of them all, you know, Kenan Thompson, who, by the way, by that point in the show, I believe this was, I think, his ninth season on SNL by the time this sketch happened. So he was kind of the people, you know, he was already kind of like this fatherly figure in the cast and would come out and say, you should do this or we should do that and let's work on this. And so for him to come out dressed as Steve Harvey and make those ridiculous comments at the end, that's just kind of like the frosting on top of a fantastic shit cake. Awesome. So anyway, Song for Daddy, check it out. I love when sketches go bad, and you'll hear all about that. I have many, many more sketches that didn't make it to air. I will tell you all about them, who wrote them. We'll hear from the people in them, and so on and so forth on this Saturday Night Live podcast that I do. So please, thank you for checking it out. That show hasn't been funny in years. Check out my other podcast here at RadioMisfits.com. It's called The Nick D Show. It is an entertainment pop culture review podcast with cool guests and movie reviews. And we talk about sports and wrestling and movies and books and theater and TV. And I have a co-host, Esmeralda Leon, who's fantastic. It's a great podcast. New episodes every Tuesday and Friday. This podcast drops every Wednesday. New episodes. You can check us out on every single platform. Please take time to take the time to share, rate, and review us. Ed Silla is the man behind all the genius at Radio Misfits. Check out Radio Misfits Podcast Network. We have a live streaming service, RadioMisfits.live. Check out our podcast website as well, RadioMisfits.com. If you want to be a part of this podcast, leave us contributions or anything, questions, topics that you would like me to cover in the world of Saturday Night Live. And sometimes I have guests, sometimes I don't, but we want to hear from you. Your feedback is loved and welcome. 773-417-6948. If you want to leave me an email of any kind that has to do with SNL, comments, questions, nickdpodcast@gmail.com. Email me, voicemail me, any of that stuff, and all that cool stuff. And Jason Skaggs is the man responsible for the opening theme song and this, the closing theme song on that show hasn't been funny in years, an SNL podcast. Thanks for checking us out. Again, a brand new episode drops every Wednesday here at Radio Misfits Podcast Network. I'm Nick DiGilio. You're the best. We'll see you next time on that show.
Have a pleasant.